The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Our Heavenly Father, this morning, this is our confession. This is our speech of faith. That as Jesus is unveiled for our heart, to our heart, we will find grace to stand for Jesus. We'll find grace to represent Jesus. We'll find grace to continue where you have planted us, instant in season and out of season. We ask this morning that again, as we look into your thoughts, that you will breathe upon us. Every time you give your breath, we come alive. Every time you give your breath, things in us shift. Let there be a shift again this morning. Let there be understanding. Let there be a breakthrough in this season. In the name of Jesus, open our eyes of understanding. Enlighten us through your word. In the name of Jesus, we come under your grace, which you have put upon our parents. We ask that you will bless us this morning from that ministry you have put in their custody, that blessing flow to every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. This morning, I will be looking at something very interesting, making the will willing. Making the will willing. Amen. One very important subject that has not been very fully understood is the internal person of a man, internal frame of a man. Are you with me? The mind of man has been studied in the laboratory, in the university. We have read, we have studied, we have done research. Okay, do you understand that? And that becomes something of note. How much learning has gone about studying the human mind. That now we know when a person is not in their right senses from study. We know that this one is psychotic. Are you getting me? It's not outright madness. But once, it a jump come off for normal thought. Are you getting me? A blessing, something just a shift. When we don't laugh, finish. Ego just laugh. See? With the wonder, say, she will be okay. Are you getting me? Then we just the gist. We ask him question. Ego just remember one thing we don't talk 5 minutes ago. Ego carry and come back. So in the here in reverse mode, you say, something don't they spoil. Are you getting me? And before now, traditionally, we know our people know sabi how the matter be. So then we just, they go they do deliverance. They go they do many things. White man, he will just give you one drug. The mind go reverse. It go arrange again. The guy will come the same. The guy will go walk. The guy go do surgery. He go become doctor normal. Are you getting me? So you wonder, say why I call doctor? Medical students they always run mad after towards exam or after exam, or when they go check results. You know, go to university, but you know, see 1 week craze. You know, they for 4 years you go see 1 week craze. Why? Then when you don't read, think of just okay. Even issues like for night, everybody they sleep, they snore, you shine eye, then get drug. Because that thing, the mind don't they shift. Now, there, that small madness they start. Are you getting it? So now, small. The people have studied the mind that they know when it is normal that you should be sleeping. And when you are not sleeping, there's a problem. If the problem has not started, the problem will soon start. Are you getting me? The mind is part of the soul. But there's often a part of the human person, internal person of a man, that we have not been able to bring to laboratory to study. It's called the heart or the lower mind, the lower heart, the lower person of the man. The upper mind
The upper person of the man is the mind. With the mind, he relates with his environment. But with his heart, he believes in visible things and sees invisible things. Are you getting me? So it is a bad thing for somebody to come to church and call himself a pastor and you don't know anything about the heart. What will you be preaching? Because the problem of man is nothing about his mind. It's his heart. So what the Bible say, Romans chapter 10, it says, with the heart, man believeth unto salvation. With the heart. So the heart is the issue. We read Mark chapter 7 today. Jesus said, Habba. How do they come ask this kind of question? So you never see no waiting person chop. He go just chop and he go enter his belly, he go digest and he go poop one. That what really defiles a man is what comes from his heart, not what enters his belly. Are you with me? Though everything, like I say, they're inside my body. But actually, there's a inside me that is spiritual. There's inside me that is physical. If doctor open a human being up, you know, he go see his heart where they pump blood. But he no go see the heart where they believe God. The doctor go see the intestine where they digest food. We no go see the heart from where wickedness come from. If doctor Fisiam, we go open the place, come out the wickedness, close the man back. The man go normal. But you go open and do the surgery, you close a man, he go still slap a wife. Because the thing they in body. I don't know if you're following me. So the major issue of a man is his heart. And that heart is a spiritual part of a man. They don't ever do surgery. Open person up. Can't commit the person. When they see inside dream. So after they come out and when they come close them up, person can't sleep. He can't go the dream again. So there's a you that is not this you. And you see that you inside your dream. And sometimes that you, they misbehave. Now you, oh guy, now you be that guy. We go steal inside dream. Now you. That guy, where they run around, they beat people inside dream. Now you. Though for daytime, you're normal, you're quiet. Nobody fitting say you feel beat person. But inside dream, you punch people. Guy, now you be that. I don't know if you're following me. Yes, I don't feel like, let's bring this, we need to understand it. So there's something called my mind. There's something called my heart. Are you getting me? My heart is the spiritual side of me. This is the one that lost connection with God when man fell. Are you getting me? Man is a spirit that has a soul, that lives in a body. Why is he living in a body? So that he can be on earth. Earth, people live in a body on earth. So that is why if a spirit is on earth, if a spirit comes to earth, he will be looking for body. Because until he gets the body, he cannot manifest. Do you understand? So every spirit wants to possess body. Jesus met that madman. He said, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion. He said, for we are many. Jesus said, that one no concern me. Get out. The man, the spirit inside the man now started begging Jesus. Jesus, I beg. Just no pursue me, just they roam everywhere. Because to see body no easy. If not this pig, just send me to this pig. Jesus said, no, wala, enter the pigs. The spirit went into the pigs and drove the pig into the river. And drowned all the pigs. Habba, the owner of the pigs say, Abemuna, help me pursue this man for this town. Because business don't spoil. If you know how long it takes to train a pig, then for the pigs to conquer the spirit, can't run. But all that spirit inside one man. And the man, they work out for street. The man see the chop. The man no drown himself. Then put a portion of that spirit into a pig. Pig drown. So, what did God put together as human body can carry God. It can carry God. Use this example where I show you from scripture to understand. It can carry God. And the way we carry God is not by God just come possess you. No, it's by knowledge. They lay knowledge on knowledge on knowledge on knowledge. That way you carry God. Hallelujah. So this morning we'll be looking at how to make the will willing. But before we do that, I want to ask, where is the will located? Where is the will located? Because the will of man is the problem of man. The will of man is where we used to choose whatever we choose, whether good or evil. What did they say about Jesus? That should be Isaiah 7. He said he will know how to choose the good and refuse evil. Isaiah 7 verse 15. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. In meaning that until he eats something, that thing is eating is actually knowledge. There is something in me that I used to accept or refuse. That thing is called will. Until they feed my will with what scripture prophetically refers here as to butter and honey, which actually is understanding, knowledge and understanding. Until they feed my heart with it, I am not empowered to say yes or no. What the devil tampered with in us is will. Actually, where sin is sitting in a man is his will. Where the devil is sitting in a man is his will. Now, you see the mind of man. You see the heart of the man. Between the mind and the heart of the man, in the middle, is called will. The will is the door to the heart of the man. God cannot get to the will of a man if he doesn't first deal with the mind of the man. Rearrange the mind of the man. Then God can get to the will of the man. Then from the will of the man, God can now get to the heart of the man. God put that gate there so that the devil cannot just walk easily and just enter man like that. Meet any of the touts where you know for Benin. May you call and say, you now devil picking. The guy where they beat people go still fight you. Do you know why he go fight you? He no believe saying that devil picking him be. He believes saying that God picking him be. Nobody don't see, agree, say, I be devil picking, the devil born me. No, no, no. Everybody, they claim, say, now God born them. Now God now creates me. Are you getting me? Why? There is still a place in a man that the devil has not been able to enter. And the devil will not sleep until he enters that place. God created a man with plenty, plenty barricades. That is why, as things have gone so bad, nobody goes to answer devil picking as surname. Igbo man go say, Nwachukwu. God picking, surname. Nobody don't answer, Nwaekwensu. Are you getting me? As name, no too plenty now, say, if you define name. Nobody don't answer, say, his surname, na devil son, or more issue. Are you getting? I don't know if you got what I say. There's still a place in a man that the devil has not been able to touch. Man has not still allowed him to ride freely. He they meet roadblock as he they go. Are you getting me? He they meet roadblock. And so when that thing that is giving him that roadblock is called will of man. God created man and gave him will. Can you show me John chapter 1 verse 13? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So there is will of flesh, there is will of man, and it is different from will of God. Will of flesh, will of man, will of God. God wants all of us to be born of his will. But the devil, first of all, turn us away from the will of God. And we got locked in the will of man or the will of flesh. Every man is in between those two places now. Are you getting me? Good. Now, when we are locked up there, he is still trying to get us to a place where we are into his will, where he can say, my will is done. What did the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, O Lord, thy will be done on earth. Are you with me? Thy kingdom come, O Lord, thy will be done on earth. So God has a will, and we must use our will to do his will. That is where the contention of the gospel is. The devil doesn't want us to use our will to choose God. So when he comes to us and tells us God is not good, God is not bad, but it's not as good as that. What's he trying to say? It's not bad, but it's not really as good as people are saying it. He doesn't still want us to choose God. That is where the real matter is. Hallelujah. So we'll just look at that calmly. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I will just take that first long read from verse 1 to like verse 16. Then we'll start breaking it down gradually as we are moving on. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the commas thereunto perfect. The commas is under subject. For then would they have not have ceased to offer, to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should make or should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and sacrifice for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart. And do what, brethren? Everybody, let's together. And in their minds will I write them. From what I've read so far, they will first write laws in our mind before they put it in our heart. So when I'm moving into a man, where do I get to first? Mind. Then I will cross something called will. Then I will get to where? Heart. You are good students. Clap for yourself. Clap, 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 clap. We are doing well already. Amen. Amen. So it means that the will is the central part of the man. When you look at the mind and the heart, the will is what is in the middle. Okay? And the will, you must always get permission from the will for anything to go into the heart. Things can assault a man's mind and not get to his heart. Can we give a practical example? Somebody can be going through many things and the mind can be really, really messed up, but the heart is intact. He has gone through so much, but the heart is intact. So you can bring gospel to the person and the person can still believe God. Are you with me? Though he may not be able to have the articulation to even manage his natural things because of how battered the mind is. So the mind is often open. Spirit can easily hit the mind. Bass, bass, bass. But spirit cannot easily cross to the heart without crossing will. So we can have somebody who has a strong will or have somebody who has a weak will. Do you understand me? A strong will means that things know they assess the heart easily. Weak will means that things easily, once you're persuaded and small, you go, okay, go agree. Are you with me? Uh-huh. But will is always there. So when God wants to assess the man, God first assesses the mind. So the mind of a man is closest to our world here. That is what spirit first assess before they can have gain access to the heart of the man. Okay? Now, that is very important to establish because it's very, very important. Now, look at John chapter 10, verse 2. We'll read a few places. John chapter 10, verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, door here is will. Door here is what? Will of the man. Is the shepherd of the sheep. I find something interesting. Verse 7. Verse 7. Jump to that. Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So Jesus here says, I am the will of God, but I will have to enter through your door, which is your will. Are you getting me? Jesus is the will of God. When we go down, you understand that the gospel came by Jesus, okay? That made him the will of God to man. Amen. So when you say will is door. Now go to verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So if Jesus is the door, meaning his will, if you go through him, so there's an out place, there is God, then there's Jesus. Do you understand that? I'm using an example to show what I showed you before. That structure. Now, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It means that the Father is here. You are here. I am the one you will pass through. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father. That makes me a door. Abi? Or makes me will. Do you understand? That, so it's clear. Jesus is will of God. I must go through this place before I can get to the Father. The Father has several things to give me. But I can't be here and be stretching my hand. I must go through the way, the truth, and the life. So also in the structure of man's arrangement, you must go through his will to get to his heart. To this point, is it clear, brethren? Are you sure with me? There's a particular part of this scripture where he said that the thief, he that climbeth through the other place, is a thief. That thief is the devil. Do you know why? The devil does not want to assess your will. He doesn't want your permission. Thank you, verse 1. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. That is what the devil does. He doesn't want to go through your door and get to the checkpoint and say, what is your name, sir? You meet an officer there. An officer says, what's your name? I said, sir, this is my name. Where are you coming from? I'm from here. What are you coming to do? I want to visit this person. Does he know you are coming? The devil doesn't want to answer all those questions. You they waste the time. He go see checkpoint. He go one bush path. He go circumvent checkpoint. Should be when I pass checkpoint, I go ask question. He go pass another side. So when you start to look for the devil, in the entire house. But Jesus said, that is not how we do it. We created it. We obey it. So Jesus will never get to your heart if you don't permit him. So he says, I stand at the door and knock. Now, when I say door, you know door is where? Will. If any man will open up to me, I will come in and sup with him. Where am I coming in? Into his heart and sup with him. Jesus will never barge in on you. So, why are we looking at this? It becomes important for us to get to a place where we joyfully and willingly open our door. Because you can be trying to shut your door from God, yet the devil will gain access to your heart. Because he does not knock on door. John 10 verse 1. The devil does not what? Knock on door. The devil pass another road. He go pass anywhere in a way for devil. Now, Jesus go past door. So, if you are blocking door for Jesus, remember, another guy go see, I enter the house. And he no go collect permission from your hand. So, we are looking at how to make our will willing. Am I right? Am I right? Good. There's a scripture I like. Check for me, Psalm 110 verse 3. Psalm 110 verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. I like this, the phrase, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. It means that there's something that will make your people willing. What is that in everybody? Power. Are you getting it? So you can't just make a man willing to open his door if the man has not encountered power. Now, what is power? Power, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, What? Why? It is the power of God unto salvation. So if I don't encounter this power, salvation will not come to my heart. For them to get to my will and my will becomes willing, my mind must encounter the gospel. The gospel is what? Power. In the day of thy power, your people will be willing. It means your people will encounter the gospel and then they will find strength to open their heart or the door of their heart. To this point, is it clear? I like this class this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you. I can be willing and not yet be able to do. I am willing. We are willing. Yes, we are willing. We can sing it from now to tomorrow and not be able to do. So Jesus gave a parable of a man that has two sons. He said to one, come, go to the farm. Do this and do that. Ah, daddy, I don't reach farm. As they talk like this, I don't reach farm. The papa come out. He tell that one. In fact, I first told the one, go to farm. He said, I know they go. Papa, every time they send me go farm. Today, I know go farm. I know they go anywhere. Don't say as where that be. If I now go there, rain don't fall. I go carry leg. They pack all the water with the road. I know go to, today. I know go farm. He met that one and said, but help me go farm. Do this. And he said, daddy. In doesn't know go go. Abi. I know I'm stubborn boy. But me, I go go. On the surface, who is the good boy? The one that say we go. So the other one has will. He's willing to go, Abi. Are you with me? Last, Jesus told say, that one wait us say go go. It be like many of us. We go procrastinate that thing until 8 p.m. You not remember, Papa said make a go farm and never go. You know him intend to be stubborn. You didn't intend to disobey your Baba. Are you getting me? But you were just procrastinating it. But the other guy that clearly said, I know they go. When Baba come out, say, this old man. Maybe not that con night, what make a help and cut. Make I just go. And finally, in go. Jesus said, who really did the will of his father? Whether he complain first or not, but he didn't do them. Because they weren't actually doers. This guy had will and was, in fact, daddy, forget. When I get there, I go clear everywhere, Abby. When I clear, I go cut corn, come house, Abby. Then when I come, I've even roasted. Me, they add more to the assignment. But in con, they do. In do one thing on top laptop, he come out there. He remember, say, in phone, the screen break, he go repair him. He come back. By the time he come back, rain come for small. He remember, say, hey, get one water, one boil for mommy, tap and take wash one towel for bathroom. He do that one. By the end of the day, where? At the end of the day, he no go farm. So I can be willing and not be able to do. So it is God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. It is God that works in us both to what? Will and to do of his good pleasure. That means that my mind must encounter God. My mind encountering God now is called power or called gospel of Christ. Are you getting me? Where they are going to is where my heart can do his good pleasure. That is where the journey is going to. My mind must first encounter God. So God is one that works in us both to will, okay, and to do. Now, you can't be willing to serve God if God has not crossed your mind, crossed your will, and come to your heart. Why? Because serving God is not sweeping church. Serving God is not arranging chair. It's more than that. Serving God is doing the will of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. So this person has crossed gospel of Christ and has come to doing the will of the Father in his heart. Are you with me this morning? How does God get to our will? Everything God is doing in church involves our participation. There's nothing they will do and then you just sleep and wake up and say, hey, I don't change you. I don't, hey, Everything don't change. What will it be today? Is it on Monday? Monday, Abi? Ha! No. It will not happen like a dream. We will be all involved. Step by step. We will permit God one step after the other. So your will is like something that walks to the left and walks to the right. If you don't permit God to walk on your mind, he will not budge on your mind. But you will be hearing him. But your heart will not hear him. But he must go through your mind, through your will, to get to your heart. Mandatorily. So you may not be willing, I can meet you and preach gospel to you. You didn't permit me. My brother, Jesus saves. I can put gospel on radio. And you are in keke and you are hearing it. It's barging straight at you. But you can choose to allow it to work on your heart or your mind or not. Do you understand what I said so far? Good. Let us see Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to 19. I was sharing here with some brethren sometime last week. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am what? Carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I will. Are you getting me? That do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do what that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So it means that sin is dwelling somewhere. Where is sin dwelling? Where my will is. That is where the devil went to sit. Are you with me? The devil sat exactly where my will is. So the devil can be doing things that I don't want to do. I didn't give him permission. I would just catch myself. Which kind of thought they think like this? Hey, God, have mercy on me. I beg God, forgive me. How could you think this kind of thought? He didn't take permission from me to think it. Because he's sitting where my will is. So he's not asking me for permission. I want me to think, one bad thought. One thing, something bad, we no good. The devil will not tell you. You just catch yourself thinking it. Then you are, God, have mercy on me. Has that ever happened to you? So he throws thoughts at you. Pow! You don't catch and you don't think the thought go. Before you catch yourself, oh my God. Yee. That is why they play all our thoughts on screen like this. As I just start, just call your name. Jessica. It is time to play your thoughts. Now so you go wrong, come out. You don't go know where you jump from here, land for grand. Because that time you go know, say, many times you don't think as you once slap David. Now just say you never feel slap and you don't look your face. That's the way you do last night. If I slap you. David man don't even know, say you don't think that kind of thing. So you are scared for them to put your thought on the screen because somebody always hijack your thought and run without your permission. Many times you call your best. How are you think that kind of thing? That kind of, that no make sense now. Do you understand me? I want to bring it home to all of us. Because this matter concerns us to our bedroom. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, or which I will, I find not. For the good that I will to do, or would do, I do not. But the evil which I don't want to do, or I will not to do, that I do. So it is clear that somebody is sitting where my will is, and using my will against me. Up to this point, is it clear? Good. Now, if God wants to heal this situation in us, he will not come and do a surgical work over the night. He will still do something. God will give us gospel. What led to this conversation was Romans chapter 6. So go back to Romans chapter 6 and now read for me from verse 16. That was what the scripture was written as a continuous thought. Are you getting me? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So it means that they will preach gospel of Christ to me, then I will obey gospel of Christ is they call a form of doctrine. I will obey it, obey it, obey it, obey it. Every obedience I do, I am strengthening my will to choose God. You want to set your will free, you obey righteousness. When they now tell you, don't bear malice, that they've given you an instruction of righteousness. Don't bear malice. You will now see that it is the easiest thing to bear malice. You never understand me. Somebody does something and they say, forgive him. You now realize that to forgive is not simple. All of a sudden, you will not be feeling the pain like, he pain me now. Forgive him. You won't even know when you start crying. They no beat you, just forgive your brother. She a cut person neck, just forgive him. The devil will pour the pain of what he did so much into your heart that the thing can't really look real because forgiveness is not really simple. You are now the one that will struggle to obey that instruction or forgive your brother. Every time you do that, you liberate your will to choose right. People cannot choose God because they have been in church. If you have not exercised your soul in obeying righteousness over a long time, you will not have your will to use to choose God. Because where you call your will, Satan is sitting in our will. That is why you don't will to do it and you just saw yourself doing it. That's a very good example for us. Okay? So if I want to set that place free, do you know what sin does? Sin tells you, you can, this matter. If you know how your papa be, you're going to say your own small. You can't be free. Say now, you just the steals once. Your papa, if you know your grandpapa, they never tell the story of my house. Una middle name na thief. Una middle name na thief. You just steal once. Jesus don't help you now. You can't be free. You can't be completely free. The thing don't, they blood, it don't take. What is he trying to do to you? He's trying to weaken your will to go against that nature. The thing they blood, yes. But can you be free? Yes. But the devil will try to weaken you so much. What's he weakening? It's weakening your will to fight that thing to finish. This family, they are always known for to drinking. They can drink anything with the bottle. As long as it's inside the bottle, then go drink them. But God, now you are born again. And you, scripture says you should not be filled with wine, but you should be filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, you see how devilish the devil is. You see, after you have prayed in tongue, the devil goes sit there and say, you top him. Now small wine. It will now bring scriptures like Paul even said to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's ache. I won't go ask, wait till they do your belly. Why you need wine? Wait till your stomach. But the same devil, he will be quoting scripture for you. When you now finally take small, he will come back. And you actually, you can't be free. Your grandpa that time, I forgot how they carry him. Later on, your papa, they go drink for beer, na beer palo in the sleep put. You, self now, you don't go school. You don't steal package now. Jesus don't help you. But say, no, they make you no drink at all. If you know where the matter from come, you go drink. No, believe him. He was the one convincing you with many, many thoughts to take. Once you take it, he will come back and tell you, say, it's a proof that you can be free. That is Jesus. Why Jesus called him a thief and a robber. He will life from you, steal every reasonable thing from you. Are you with me? So I want to strengthen my will. Now I am aware I have will. I can choose to do. I can choose not to do. But I find that I go do am. I go reach there, I go do am. How do I strengthen my will? Obey righteousness. Do you know the interesting about obeying righteousness? The first time you obey it is the most difficult time. The next time it is easier. It's like doing something wrong. The first time you did it was the most difficult. Doing it a second time is easier. Yeah. That is how criminals are born. Just follow us go. They follow them go. They just run at it. They don't steal the thing. They don't come out. Everybody don't confuse. The thing, you see as we do them. The guy see the one that say, so we just, is it easy like that? She easy like that. The next time you follow them again, they just, The thought and anxiety, I say, when we run like them, then you go pick them. He go, they sweat. What if they hold me? He go, they sweat. The day he picks it like this, pan and runs away, that a criminal is born. I don't know if you got what I'm trying to say. A criminal is born. So also reverse it. To do it the first time, to say no the first time and stay with it, it will be like, say, you go die today. If I no do, I go die. You don't go die. Stay there. By the time that passes, you write that, hey, you get more boldness to say no the next time. So how do we strengthen our will? By obeying righteousness. So when I obey righteousness and obey righteousness, the way we know that Christ has been formed in a man is now his will is available to God. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ is formed in you. How do we know Christ is formed in you? Is that they have purged your mind to a place that God can now walk step by step to the end of your mind and meet your will and can knock. And then the proof that Christ really has been formed in us is that when God knocks, go, 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 you will say, come in. You will open the door of your heart. You see that place where I just say God takes step, one step after the other. You made the space available for God to walk by obeying righteousness. So as you obey righteousness, you make more space for God. As you obey righteousness, you make more space. Now, so you go create the space as you obey righteousness until God can knock on the door of your heart, which is your will. So far, is it clear? Clap for yourself. You are doing well. You are doing well. This class, they flow today. I like her. Hallelujah. Why will God not budge on our will? Why will God not budge on our will? Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. Why will God just be waiting for us? He go just sit down, stand out there, they wait until we any time where you shall agree. Finally, God will come. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. Hallelujah. Are you there with me? And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with what? A perfect heart and a willing. A perfect heart and what? So they will first make your heart willing before they make your mind willing before they make your heart perfect. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. I ask the question, why will God not barge in on me to simply take my will? Because there's something locked up in your will. Tell your neighbor, aroma. Talk him again, aroma. What is in your will is called aroma. Or sweet smelling savour. You see Leviticus that we're reading, Numbers, bullock, she goats, he goats, 5, 10, 2, 1. All that is your will. There are different compartments of your will. So if God forces himself on you, he will not get that aroma. The devil doesn't care. Has nothing to lose when he barges into your soul. He didn't create your will. He doesn't know even the fragrance of the aroma. He doesn't know what it smells like. Now God, now you know, say, he get aroma within your will. Say, if you offer it willingly, he will enjoy the fragrance. The devil does not know. He doesn't care. He just wants to do evil. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's like that Yahoo guy, we no send, whether now 4 million, 4.5, or 5 million. Now you wake gather money from family, go start business. Now you know say something lost. Ain't just the one clean money, one spend for community. Are you got the picture I'm painting? So God will never barge into your will because there's an aroma he gets when you voluntarily offer your will. Did you get that now? So God will do everything to make you give your will willingly. So now when I say, what is man? Can you tell me what is man? What is man? Mind, will, and heart. That is man. Man is who? Mind, will, and heart. That is man. From this point, are we clear? So when God formed man,
He put something there called will. So willingness is what really makes that aroma flow out. So God will labor to make our will willing. It will take his time because there's a pleasure he wants to get from that willingness. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Show me Acts chapter 22. Acts 22, verse 13 and 14. Are you there with me? And came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said that the God of our father hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest what? Know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. So when you say know his will is Christ, his will is also the Father. His will is what? Christ. His will is the Father. That's going to bring me to the next thing I want to talk about. What is the will made of? Because I've established here now so far that our will is love. Our will is what? Our love. Our will is what we love. Amen. Our will is what we love. Or our will is the faculty that dictates our love. Our will is that place in us that offers freely or that can pour out as love to somebody else. Up to your choice of marriage, who you marry is from your will. Do you choose him to be your lawfully wedded husband? I do. Means I will. Abi? No, so I will, so help me God. Is that not the way we say it? So your will is where your love is sitting. So God will not barge in on your will. He wants you to offer your love willingly. Are we good on that point? Now, how is the will made? The will is made up of knowledge of a way. The will is made up of what? Knowledge of a way. Every knowledge shows a way. So that is when the mind is exposed to it over and over and over, that knowledge forms what you call his will. So Christ is knowledge. Christ is light that must first flood our mind. That is why it can open the door to our heart. Did you understand that? Maybe let me read the scripture. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. It will strengthen what I'm trying to say to us and help us understand him. I said, knowledge, will is made up of knowledge of way. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So when you say way, way is made up of wisdom and understanding. Way is made up of what? Wisdom and understanding. So every way that you say, a way that seemeth right to a man, the end of which is destruction, is a wisdom and an understanding of sin. Do you understand that? That is what makes a way. Acts are what you get at the end of a way. So acts of sin or acts of righteousness is because you engage the way of sin and death, or you engage the way of righteousness. Then you can now do acts of sin. So works of the flesh is not flesh. Works of the flesh is what flesh generated as his work. Flesh in itself is what generated the work. But a knowledge, a wisdom and understanding gave birth to flesh. So my spirit no longer strive with man because that he is now also flesh. Meaning that man has married a way, received a wisdom and an understanding, and that wisdom has converted his person to become flesh. So if I go to the university and I stay there and study, and come out and say there is no more God. There is no God. Something made me arrive at that conclusion. I engaged a way of thought.
I engaged a philosophy. When you say way, you are talking about philosophy, reasoning, okay? A particular way of thought or school of thought. It's called way. Do you understand that now? So when you meet people on earth, what makes Benin people is a way. That when you leave Benin City and you cross from here to Agbo, they don't behave like these people. Are you with me? When you cross from here to Asaba, they don't behave like Benin people. Oh, we are going towards the east. Let's go towards this side. We just cross from here to Warri. They don't behave like Benin people. So what is different between Warri people and Benin people? It's their mindset or the philosophy that guides their way of life. Are you getting me? That philosophy is their wisdom or their understanding or their will. So when you meet a Benin man is aggressive. Am I right? He wants it and he wants it now. Are you with me? When you just travel that way, you will meet an Agbo man and a Ka man. And a Ka man will say, if you know, if we give us, we'll leave him now. Person go die, put him. Are you getting me? We are all Nigerians. In fact, before then, they call us Bendel. One state. But they looked at our manner. They can't say, no. Now one state. But the way these people, they behave, they own Edo. No, these people, Delta. Even the Delta now, say they won't divide them again. Say this book will be Delta, this book will be Anioma. Because what are they looking at? Their manner of life or their wisdom and understanding. Because you see it in the way they live. Are you with me? So every will is made up of wisdom and understanding. That determines what you love, what you don't love, what you do, what you don't do, what you can allow. Are you getting me? So we have to learn Christ, then learn Christ to a good point, then we can cross. Hallelujah. Sin and transgression sits in the will. Look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 to 11. Are you there with me? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. By his knowledge. Are you getting me? So what really offers offering and sacrifice is the will. What offers offering and sacrifice is what? The will. The will cannot offer offering and sacrifice if it does not first receive enlightenment of Christ. Then when it receives enlightenment of Christ to a good degree, it will offer offering. Then we open the door to the heart and receive enlightenment of the Father to a good degree. He will offer sacrifice. It don't tick small, but it's not supposed to confuse you. I will say it again. The mind and the heart should be saved. But what saves them are different sides of God. Are you getting me? When you see God, God has Christ and has Father. So Colossians chapter 2 verse 2, to lay it down. Let me read it out. I told us that church is a place where we learn things. Not just me. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You don't give your tithe. If you don't give your tithe, stand up. You don't give that. Okay, to this week, prosper. That their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of what? God, the mystery of the Father, and the mystery of Christ. So there are three things there. So when you look inside God, you will find two things. You will find Christ, mystery of Christ. You'll find the mystery of the Father. Are you getting it now? All of them is inside God. All of them is called will of God. Are you getting me now? So will of God is divided into two. The first will, which is Christ, is to redeem the mind. When that will redeems the mind, then the will has offered an offering. What are other thing called? Offering or gifts. It has given God what? Gifts.
Then the second part is the heart. The will now opens the door for God to enter your heart and redeem your heart. What does it mean to redeem your heart? Christ is knowledge. The Father is knowledge. So God is knowledge divided into two sides. Are you getting me? Knowledge divided into what? Two laps. First lap is called Christ. Second lap is called Father. Father is to redeem the heart. Cleanse the heart thoroughly. So it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. You will get it. I'm almost done with what I'm saying. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of what? Read with me. Of flesh and spirit. Flesh is your mind. Spirit is your heart. Both of them are filthy. Are you getting me? And they will use the different reagents to cleanse them. The reagent they use to cleanse the mind is Christ. The reagent they use to cleanse the heart is the Father's knowledge or the Father's will. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Amen. So knowledge of the will is what justifies the soul ultimately. Amen. Where is knowledge concealed? Knowledge is concealed in blood. Quickly, let's see Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8 to 10. The whole gospel just did all lock inside this thing. But it go clear. The Holy Ghost did signifying that the way of the holiest, I like the way. I use the way. Into the holiest of all is was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure of the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. That's not where I'm looking for. Go to chapter. Okay. Don't run away. Read from verse 10 of chapter 9 to go to verse 11 now. Let's read to verse 13. But Christ, being made an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, go ahead, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So where is knowledge put? Knowledge is conveyed in blood. That is why God says you should not eat blood. See that in the Old Testament, the administration was by blood. In the New Testament, the administration is also by blood. But the first one was blood of bulls and goats. This other one was blood of Christ. Spirits write their knowledge in blood. And spirits unleash that knowledge by shedding that blood. So when you come into a community where the priesthood offers rats and offers giant rats, are you getting me? And offers what again? And offers cock. You will know the kind of life that you will see there. What they offer in their worship tells you the kind of life you will see there. Where I say life, the kind of knowledge, the people will be primitive. Do you understand me? The people will be what? Primitive. Because the knowledge they are using is in the life of very low animals. So when he got to the Jewish people, God told them, offer ram, offer bullock, offer goat, offer lamb. The nature of the animal tells you the grade of life that is trapped in the animal. Then the priesthood that offers it is able to do so much. So you, where you read Deuteronomy, is that chapter 6, verse 4 to 6 or 4 to 8? That Moses was saying that when the nations look at you, they will say, what manner of people are these? See their wisdom. See their learning. The nations will envy you. It's not far from the priesthood and the blood that officiates their manner of knowledge and understanding. Every time you find sin, sin shades light. Sin is thicker than ozone layer. Are you getting me? Sin keeps light away. So once sin is sent in a place, the interpretation of the mind of the people becomes bizarre, awkward. So what they do is that they cover it with blood. The blood you use to cover, you need to cover sin with blood so that the people can live, so that their life and understanding can be high. So, but the blood you use to cover sin matters. Because when you shed that blood and cover, use it to cover sin, it determines the grade of life the people will live eventually. So what ended them? God said they are a stiff-necked people. They are stiff-necked. Why? Because bull, neck, stiff. Goat, neck, stiff. Are you getting me? Because that is the blood they use to cover their sin. Fast forward to the death of Christ. You now see Christ embodying the light of God and then shedding his blood. When he shed his blood, he also not only covered sin, he covered it with a program to purge it. So that though for to start with, he covered it, eventually he will purge it, the sin will no longer be existing at all. So when God looks at you and I, he sees Christ. But we still go about doing mad things, crazy things. He has a program in the blood of Christ, which is officiated by the priesthood of Christ. Remember, blood carries, conveys life or knowledge. But the blood of the Son of God carries the life of God and the knowledge of God. Now, the Son of God also is the priest officiating that blood, thereby making it possible for the comers to that sacrifice or service to be perfected. So when you look at the will of man, God has made the arrangement possible that when he starts, he will finish. When he starts cleansing our mind, he will get to our will and the door will be open freely and he will enter our heart. He will perfect our heart. Can you give glory to Jesus? Hallelujah. So the will must be purged if we are ever going to render what God will accept. The will must be purged. Are you sure you understood what I said this morning? My belief, my desire is that Jesus will bring us to a place where we are able to cross. We are able to give him all the way. Yes, that songwriter said, Jesus, take the wheel. We are able to say, Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, carry me, they go. They go, carry me, they go. That we are not stopping him. We are not mounting barricade anymore. We need to get there. Hallelujah. And my trust is that the Lord will bring us to that place in this season. Our heart will be willing. We will be willing. We will be willing in the name of Jesus. I want to bow your heads and pray. I want to bow your heads and pray.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.